Did anybody catch the phrase that Jack used in his prayer? That we may see the light at the end of the tunnel? Did y'all recognize that? You know, I did not tell him to say that. But since he did, I thought, you know, I got to talk about that for just a minute. In fact, I guess that's what I'm going to talk about tonight because it fits in beautifully with what I want to talk about. You know, when we think about the light at the end of the tunnel, you've heard people talk about near-death experiences and how they saw this light at the end of the tunnel, you know, as they was going through whatever it was they was going through. I don't put much stock in the light at the end of the tunnel that the human mind conjures up when it's in an intermediate state in its life. I think that's something that the subconscious mind does. I don't believe that they see Jesus at the other end or they see the fires of hell at the other end. I think that's the subconscious mind just messing with the person, really. But it's interesting about we think about the light at the end of the tunnel. It's always bright. It always gives us something to see, something to look for, something to desire. And that's what we think of when we think about that light at the end of the tunnel. Well, it just so happens that tonight I want to share with you a topic that we could define as the light at the end of the tunnel. And what I'm making reference to is the fact that our lives as we travel through this life, as Peter says, this world is not our home. We are sojourners, we are pilgrims here, and we are basically going through this life, and I like to think of it maybe in this way, that we're going through a tunnel. And there is a light at the end of that tunnel. And that light is our salvation. So I'd like to think of that light that Jack mentioned in his prayer as our salvation. So the question I wanted to ask tonight in the lesson is this. What is so great about this salvation? Everyone here in this room wants salvation. Am I right? Of course. We are here because we are searching for salvation. So, you know, we ask ourselves the question, well, what's so great about salvation? You know, we talk about other things that people think is so great and so wonderful, and then some of them say, well, what's so great about it? Well, there's a lot of great things about salvation, and two of them is given to us by the Hebrew writer. Really, there's two points about salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, the Hebrew writer asks us a question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, we know that we want salvation, but if we neglect our opportunity to obtain it, or we turn our backs upon it, what have we accomplished in life? And the answer to that question is absolutely nothing. In fact, the Hebrew writer goes on to tell us in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 27 that we can be looking for a judgment and fiery indignation. If we don't search for this salvation, this is what we're going to wind up with. We're going to wind up standing in front of a just God instead of a merciful God, and our end result will be fiery indignation. So we definitely need to search and strive for this salvation or this light that is at the end of the tunnel of our lives. We need salvation. So, tonight I want us to look at several reasons why salvation is actually so great. And it is indeed a great thing. First of all, salvation is great, and it is so great because of the price that was paid for it. And before we go any further, let me remind you, you didn't pay this price. No one in this room paid this price. No human that walked this earth has paid this price. One person paid this price. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, you were bought with a price. And that price was the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That price was paid by His blood on the cross of Calvary. You know, Paul, he is speaking to the elders of the church in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, and he makes a mention here of this price that was paid. And he's talking to the elders here, and he says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. So you see, there was definitely a price paid. And that price that was paid is something that gave us this great salvation that we have an opportunity to receive. You know, Peter gives us a description in 1 Peter 1, verse 19, about the value of this blood of Jesus. He said that it is actually precious. It is as a lamb that is spotless and without blemish. In fact, you can back up to verse 18 and you'll find that Peter describes Jesus' blood far more valuable, the things that are even made out of silver and gold. And we know how precious we think silver and gold is in our lives. But Christ's blood is far, far more precious. And then, as I said earlier, this price is something that he did not owe. He did it for you and me because we actually owe the price. But it was a price that we could not pay. Paul tells us in Romans 3, verse 24, that we have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So what is so great about salvation? The price that was paid by Jesus on the cross of Calvary, that you and I can look forward in our lives to the end of that tunnel and see that light and see the salvation that we have because of Jesus Christ. What's so great about salvation? Well, salvation is so great because of the plan that was put into place that you and I might obtain it. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, Paul says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Now, notice that he mentions that form of doctrine. Now, the word form comes from the Greek word tupos, which simply means to cast or to mold a material as it is poured into shape, like molten lead, molten metal, or maybe molten wax for a candle. I remember so well as a child, my daddy was a fisherman for a long time. And he would go nearly every day that he could, and he made his own tackle. And he also made his own weights for that tackle. And he had the mold, and he would heat the metal, the lead, and he would pour the lead into the mold, and then he would dip it in water and let it cool. And then there they were. It was mold. It had been molded into what he needed to put onto his line to cast that line and catch that fish. And it was so hard when he finished with it. You couldn't bend it. You couldn't move it. But at one time, it was like liquid. Our form of doctrine is that strong, as if it has been molded just for you and just for me by the blood of Christ. The gospel plan of salvation is a mold that we shape ourselves into, or that God shapes us into upon our obedience. Salvation is so great because of the peace that it offers you and I. I don't have to tell you how valuable peace is. If you have to deal with something that is hectic, something that is very difficult to handle, and then when it's all over and done with, it's almost like calm water. I don't know if any of you have ever been on a storm in the water. I know Jack has. He's talked about it in the past when he was in the Navy. And that ship tossed him back and forth, and then when it was all over, it was like he was on glass. That's peace. Peace after a turmoil. Peace after a problem of life. You know, if you don't believe that, talk to someone who has been through something like that, who has been at war, for example. So ask one of our veterans about what it was like to be in a life or death situation and the peace that comes when it's over with and they find themselves okay. You know, our lives is exactly this kind of struggle. We struggle every day with sin. We struggle every day with difficulties and problems in life. And it's so wonderful to know that there is peace in our lives, or that can be in our lives because of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, Paul says that He is our peace. He has broken down that middle wall of separation, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments that contained in ordinances, to create in Himself a new man from the two, thus making peace. We are at peace with God because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We can be at peace with ourselves because we can have unity among ourselves as children of God because of what Christ did for us on the cross. This peace that Christ offers us allows us to have this unity, this oneness, and it can only be found in Jesus Christ. And it's a great thing to have. And it's part of our salvation. And salvation is great because of the peace that comes with it. Salvation is so great because of the purpose for which it was purposed. Now, the purpose of salvation is simple. It was to bridge a gap that exists between God and man. This gap began in the Garden of Eden, when man sinned and separated himself from God. That's right. We separated ourselves from God. You know, Isaiah tells us this. Isaiah chapter 59, he said that your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. We have done this to ourselves. We have removed a relationship that we had with God through sin. But you know, Paul said that we as Christians, that we are reconnected with God through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 10, in that dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. We have a oneness because of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus prayed for this oneness when He was here upon this earth. Paul made a plea for this oneness. He's willing to give us this oneness, which is a part of our salvation. Salvation makes us complete in every way. Salvation is so great because of its promises. You ever thought very much about the promises of God and how they always come true? Have you ever made a promise to someone and didn't keep it? Have you ever had someone make a promise to you and not keep it? I guess we've all been there, haven't we? But promises that are from God are complete because they always come true. And His promises, God's promises, are of a spiritual nature. Paul said, Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And Peter tells us that we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. And he's talking about these spiritual blessings that you and I have, of which gives us this wonderful salvation that comes from Jesus. Then Peter goes also on to tell us that because of these promises that God has made to us, we can be partakers of a divine nature. That we will have escaped the corruption that is in this world. That we can leave this world behind. We can put worldly things behind us. And we can have what God is giving us, which is eternal life or salvation. James tells us that every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, and there is no variation. There is no shadow of turning. There is no discrepancy in these blessings. They are for everyone who will accept it. And these promises of God are great. And the greatest promise of all is the promise of salvation, which you and I have today through Jesus Christ. And then finally, salvation is so great because of the place that is being prepared for us. My friends, we have to understand that heaven is far, far better than what we have now. Now, you may think about what you have now. You may think, well, I have a lot. Some of you may think, well, I have a little. And you know, in human terms, I guess everyone in this room has a lot, don't we? When you stop and think about it. But what we have, my friends, is totally insignificant to what God is preparing for us. Paul said, hey, I'm hard pressed. He said, I would rather go now and be with my God in heaven, to live there, to be with Him forever. He really wanted this place. Peter talks about heaven. He talks about it as a place that is inherited for God's children. It is a place that is incorruptible. It is a place that is undefiled. It is a place that will not fade away. And it will continue on and on through eternity. John simply described it in Revelation 2 and verse 7 as paradise. You know, Eden was also described as paradise. And no one has experienced Eden since Adam and Eve. But we will experience paradise as children of God. My friend, salvation is a great thing. Salvation offers us something that is great here. And salvation offers us something that is far greater than anything here can have. We know a lot about the greatness of the gift of Christ, don't we? We know what a wonderful thing He did for us. We know that He went to the cross, that He gave His life, that He washed our sins away in His blood, so that you and I can have this great, great gift of salvation. You know, we've all lost at something in our lives, whether it be a competition, whether we have failed to achieve a goal, or whether we've just simply lost something that we cherish so much in life. But just imagine for 1 minute losing salvation, losing that gift of God, losing that forever future in the home of the soul. Just imagine how horrible that would be, that God has gone to all of this effort to give you something that can last you forever. And you lose that. We don't need to lose our salvation, my friends, because it is indeed a wonderful thing. So never lose sight of this gift that God is giving to you. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you don't have salvation. But you can. You can have salvation by rendering obedience to the gospel of Christ and by giving your life to Him. Christian, if you have gone back into the world, you've lost your salvation, but you can have it back by simply coming back to the Lord, repenting of your sins. God will forgive you. And once again, you can look down that tunnel and you can see that light at the end, that light of salvation. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.